Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast, with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Okay, Maysoon, ready for a little tidbit of knowledge?
Oh, why sure, why not?
Back in 1974,
oh, Jesus.
Toledo had a hockey team. From 1974 to 1986, they had a hockey team in the International Hockey League.
Okay.
Guess what the name of the team was?
Toledo Roadsters.
The Toledo Gold Diggers.
Oh, cute. That's pretty good.
I'm into that. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I believe it.
Speaking of hard-hitting competition, I believe it's time for us to announce the winner of our 2021
pumpkin Congratulations. Carving competition.
Okay, and let me get a drum roll going. It was so hard to judge, and we did have our famous Bay Area specialist guest judge, Unji Ju, contemporary curator at SF MoMA. And she chose the engrossing pumpkin artistry of
Ingrid Rojas Contreras.
Yay!
Congratulations, okay. Ingrid. We're so proud to call you our first annual winner. Can we say first annual winner?
Oh, we're doing this every year now?
Yeah, why not? Dude, we can say annual and then never do it again. Who cares?
Okay, yeah, let's say annual. Ingrid, thank you so much for enriching our lives with your amazing pumpkin manipulation skills.
It was so great.
We are in awe. And do we have an address for Ingrid?
Yes, we will be sending you your clipper card with
$30
on it. We hope you will enjoy it taking the ferry across the bay or whichever, however you want to commute around the bay.
Take the ferry, though, because that's what we really intended.
Take the ferry, because that's what we really wanted to give as a gift, as a prize.
That's correct. Okay, Maysoon, a couple whiles ago, I went to the Museum of the African Diaspora, which just recently reopened with their incredible curator, Elena Gross, and we want to say a hearty and heartfelt congratulations to Elena now having that museum open again after being closed for quite a while.
Yeah.
They're back open, and they have three solo shows there. They have one by Billy Zangewa. I have to say right out, I think everybody should go to MOAD.
Yes, you should say that right out.
I think everyone should see this work. There were these phenomenal fiber art pieces that were basically paintings made with fabric by Billy Zangewa, who is from South Africa and was there at the press preview. But sure enough, I was too shy and in my head to talk to anybody.
Aww.
I was losing my shit because I forgot to bring a notebook and pencil. I forgot to charge my phone. I was so fixated on trying to get the cat fur off my blazer, which I forgot to do. I'm just on BART trying to get the cat fur off of me. I showed up. I was a complete mess. And I just want to apologize to everyone for my total lack of professionality. But also, Sydney Kane also has work up, a ton of work. Sydney Kane, who also just recently won Artadia,
yeah,
and rightly so, because this work was really good. And Sam Vernon, who just recently moved away from the Bay Area, was back.
Yeah.
Because Sam has a bunch of work there on the first floor. And then there is a painting show by Amawako Boafo. And those paintings were really interesting to me. The huge portraits, but I couldn't figure out how the paint was applied. It looked like when you got close to it, it looked like tubes or like worms or something in some of these forms. So you got to get over there. You got to see it in person. I just want to say one more thing about this painter, Amawako Boafo. I hope I'm saying that right. Once again, continuing our tradition of not knowing how to pronounce anything, is an artist from Ghana, and this is his first solo exhibition in the United States. So go there. You're witnessing history in the making. Get out there.
Get out there.
I just threw my phone.
Great. That sounds like a perfect thing to do. Sounds like a great time over there at the at MOAD. I'm excited that you
Everybody
went.
Go see it immediately.
Immediately. I imagine they have a weekend hours again. They're fully re-engaged. Get out there.
Get over there faster than is even safe to travel.
Just don't hit anyone on your way, please.
Okay, Mason, we got an email in.
Oh, great. I love an email. That's perfect.
We got an email here from Margaret.
Okay.
Not Margaret Tedesco. This is a different Margaret.
Great. Always happy to hear from another Margaret.
Yep. And Margaret says, fun fact, only humans are allergic to poison oak. Deer and other wildlife eat it.
Amazing. Does that mean cats too? Cats are domestic life. Are they, would they be, do you think they're immune? Margaret, will you get back to us on that?
Wouldn't take that risk, but I know there's those, have you seen those goats out in San Pablo Bay?
Oh yeah, I love the goats.
They eat poison oak, and there's a sign on the fence there saying, don't pet the goats, they might be covered in poison oak.
Oh my God, that's horrifying to me. Next time I go to Angel Island, is this what you're suggesting? I should bring a herd of goats with me and have them take care of the poison oak? Are they trained to only eat the poison oak and no other plants? Or are they just kind of grazing the whole field? The whole
hillside? Oh, they're
grazing
it all. Okay, they can't
maybe
tell the difference.
I need a more specialized, maybe I need a robotic goat?
I'm sure that's not true. I'm sure they can tell the difference. I take that back.
I just don't know how well you can train them, you know?
Oh, yeah. Just unleash the goats and you'll get rid of any foliage.
Wait, but
you'll get rid
I'm
of anything you put in front of them.
But what I'm saying is that in a place like Angel Island, you might not want to have them graze everything. What if you, because there's all sorts of like native plants or whatnot. So maybe you just want them to graze the poison oak, but not other things. Can you train them
the
to go after
thing
one,
about goat herding?
Can you train them to go after one plant in particular? Maybe you just have one.
We got to get a goat herder on the show.
We need
we
someone
gotta
who really
getting
knows
people
about
on the
animal
show.
Training. I want someone who's like Mason, good with wildlife training. Yes, Kate?
This winter is going to be our absolute coming back to the roots of Congratulations Pine Tree where we start interviewing people again.
Okay, but also we weren't interviewing people again because you and I aren't even recording in person yet. Like, we're still doing
this
over the phone.
We're not even together. We're not even seeing
each other.
We
took a long break from being in person and
but
from
we need to get a
with anyone.
We need to get a goat herder on here.
I would love to get a goat herder. You know what? We should ask friend of the show, Suzanne Husky, if she knows any goat herders.
Why does she know a goat herder?
Well, because she's just in that field, no pun intended.
Of being a little weirdo?
No, she's in like the farming. Rude. Farming, agriculture, not agriculture, like local small-scale agriculture farming.
Farming is agriculture.
I know, but I don't want to think of, when I say agriculture, I think of like huge farms, right? This is not what I'm talking about with her. Anyhow, I just feel like she might know someone.
No, Maysoon. Maysoon, we got one in from Deborah Monk.
Ah, yay.
Just saying that she wanted to thank us for the shout out.
Oh, cool. Sweet. Always. We're so happy to shout out Recology.
Love you, Deborah Monk.
And there's, friends of the show, Keija Lucas and Dana Hemingway are now artists in residence over there at Recology. I can't wait to see what they get up to. Everyone, keep your eye out for the few days and the coming months when you can go see their work.
That might be back in person again, because that's not going to be for quite a while.
It probably will be in person.
Where you get to, touch butts and that.
Touch butts.
Where
is
you
that,
can rub butts
is that
together
like a
with
public
someone
thing?
Else.
Is that like something you do in public, or is that more of like
you
a
know
behind
where
closed
you can
doors
like put
privacy?
Your butt, you can put your butt up against another person's butt.
With consent and probably with clothing
consensually.
On. Yeah, okay,
consensually.
Great. Yeah, that sounds great.
There's an upcoming exhibition at the David Ireland House.
I love touching
Ireland
butts
House.
Consensually.
Who doesn't? There's an exhibition coming up at the David Ireland House.
All right, tell us more.
By New York-based artist duo Zakubalan.
Zakubalan. Okay. I don't know this person.
You know these guys?
No, not at all. Are they local or are they?
They've been living over there since the beginning of October and are developing some wonderful video and sound work in response to their time at the David Ireland House.
Great.
It's going to be October 30th through February 19th.
I also wanted to, since we're in this location, or in that location, 500 Cap Street, David Ireland House, I wanted to give a quick shout out for, they now have applications open for their 2022 Performing Artist Residency.
Oh, yes.
Which could be really cool in that spot. I mean, I'm excited about this. It's a 10-week residency.
Are we not boycotting them or anything?
People, go get the fucking money. Honestly, please. Like, if you're into it, go get it. Whatever. I don't know. I'm not boycotting anyone anymore. I've completely sold out.
Yeah, you are. BDS, baby.
Well, I'm always BDSing. That's for sure.
BDS,
Are you telling me that 500 Capsuit is...
Oh, my God. I don't know. I don't think so. I doubt
it. Please check that out. We can't be spreading fucking rumors.
I don't think they have a stated position.
I know. I'm kidding. Anyhow, so it's a 10-week residency. Kate, focus. That begins January 20th and ends April 1st, 2022. And it sounds like, let's see, there will be a $5,000 honoraria for an individual or collective and up to $9,000 production budget.
Wow.
So pretty good for 10 weeks. Go get it. Go get that money, people. You know, you can find out about it on their website, 500capstreet.org, under residency. And May please soon. Let us know if you apply, because I want to know who you are anyhow. I'm looking for performing artists all the
Wait,
time.
Wait, why? What?
I'm always looking for performing artists, always curious to know what you're working on. Invite me for studio visits. I would love to come and talk to you.
Wow.
Do whatever you want me to do with you.
Give us a call, 419-351-6606. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast. Or you can email us, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. If you want a studio visit from May soon, if you want to comment on the show, whatever you got, send us your dreams, hopes, and aspirations.
Exactly. Perfect.
May soon, SF MoMA is dead and gone. It's done. It's over.
Stop talking canceled, about that. Actually. Why are you bringing it's them canceled. Up all the time? You're like obsessed with them.
Well, because I want to say, I know, but I want to say, so let's say goodbye to them. Play the song, actually.
I'm playing the song.
We want a goodbye song, but that's kind of like a fuck off goodbye.
Yeah, we'll have to, I feel like it's going to be some kind of like punk rock situation.
Okay, and we're going to say hello to the San Jose Museum of Art. I have now decided that they are taking the throne of number one art museum in the Bay Area.
So now when you say I'm going to the museum, we'll all know that you're going to the San Jose Museum of Art. SF MoMA is permanently crossed off. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yep. If you don't say which museum, we'll just assume it's the SJMA.
All right. And what shows are going on there now, Kate, since this is now your new hub of art seeing, art viewing?
Yes, indeed. Opening on November 5th is going to be Beta Space, an exhibition by Trevor Paglen. Hmm. And that is organized by Catherine Wade, who's an assistant curator there. They are pleased to present the upcoming exhibition Beta Space, Trevor Paglen, featuring Paglen's first sound commission, There Will Come Soft Rains, made this year, brand new, hot out of the gate. The artist investigates the triangulation between sound, time, and truth. Holy shit.
Wow.
What an intersection that is.
I love
is.
That. Sound, time, and truth.
A three-way intersection. You don't always hear about that. The sound piece will be installed in SJMA's historic clock tower and resounding to the streets of downtown San Jose.
Oh, nice.
Well, I have come out against sound art, but
what?
I guess I'll just have to deal with it.
Stop it.
You don't like the project
public sound?
Joins...
Like public sound art?
I have a very clear stated position on sound art.
You have a statement
and
on your website?
Anti.
Oh!
Yes.
So
I should
harsh.
Put on my.
Damn.
I want to add a section on my website to just my various positions on things.
I think you really should. It could just be called positions, positionality,
yes,
or whatever. Positions, and then you click on it, and you have like a manifesto for every single thing you're like against or for.
Yeah. Perfect, perfect. I have it. So many positions.
I'm sure. It's
and perfect. Sure enough, they have a first Friday on November 5th from 6 to 9 p.m. free admission for everyone.
Oh, sweet.
So get in there on that first Friday, have a nice night in San Jose, go to La Vix, La Victoria Taqueria, get your orange sauce.
Ooh, habanero.
Have a fantastic time in the true capital of the Bay Area, San Jose.
That's great. I love it. I would be really excited to go to San Jose. It's a SJMA with you. Check it out.
That's right. Yes. Let's go.
All right. Let's do it. I wanted to also give a quick shout out to the Berkeley Arts Center. They're having a group show open this weekend, this Saturday, They're having a show open this Saturday, October 30th. They're having a slightly long reception, 2 to 5, so probably for social distancing purposes. It is called Suspended Matter, and it's curated by someone Kate and I love so much, Patricia Carino Valdez. With so many fantastic artists in the show, including, you know, friends of the show, Jennifer K. Wofford and Julia Goodman, as well as Asma Kazmi and Laura Arminda Kingsley. Got to get out there. Go support Berkeley Arts Center. It's being run by a co-directorship as well, Daniel Nevers and Kimberly Arteche. So they're doing some good work. I'm excited for this show.
Get in there. That is our pick of the week.
Pick of the week. Get out there. Plus, there's redwoods surrounding the building. It's just lovely. Go take a little breather in the redwoods.
If you take a little walk around the area, there's some nice staircases and all kinds. I couldn't agree with you more on that one, Maysoon. I just across the transom has come a hot piece of announcement.
Hot piece of announcement. That sounds kind of messy to me, but I like it.
Okay. Sure enough, coming up next year on January 13th is going to be a new show at the Wattis, an exhibition of work by Josh Fott.
Oh, great.
A Bay Area favorite. It's going to be a show of work by him called Look Across the Water Into the Darkness, Look for the Fog.
Oh, God, I love that.
Fott's first major institutional exhibition in the Bay Area since 2013.
Wow, it's way too long.
Jesus fucking Christ. And curated by Kim Nguyen. Mm-hmm. And it consists of a series of hand-woven, crocheted, and dyed works that articulate the often ambivalent relationships between material, language, and community. Perfect. I can't wait for this. Put it on your calendar right now. It
sounds so good.
It's going to be gay. It's going to be yarn. It's going to be weird things they did to strings and threads. Yeah. A festival, a feast for the eye and the mind. That's it.
I was like, keep going. Keep going. Should we put some thunder in there? Like a little bit of sound?
Sound
clapping or something? Yeah, let's do something really dramatic in that. I feel like it was... I also wanted to give, we mentioned this earlier when we were talking about the goats, but I got an email from my friend Suzanne Husky, who is an artist, so this is related. She lives in the Bay Area, so it's still related. And the email title is called Bay Area Beavers. Can you guess what this is going to be about?
What? Beavers?
Bay Area Beavers.
Are there beavers?
There are beavers in the Bay Area, people. My friend Suzanne has discovered them, and she emailed an entire group of us about them.
Hold up.
Whoa is right.
Wait.
Hold on. Hold your horses.
No, Maysoon, all summer long, I was looking for beavers with my mom.
Okay, see? Here we go. This is why.
I didn't see a single fucking beaver. We were walking around the Rocky Mountains in the middle of the fucking night, up and down riverbanks looking for beavers. And you're trying to tell me that I fucking could have seen them here at home.
Okay, so I got an email from my friend who loves the outdoors. She's incredible. She's awesome. And she says, Bay Area beavers can be found in Fairfield, California. There's a whole fucking walking map. It's called the Beaver Walk on Laurel Creek in Fairfield. You can go and see them. She said her son Storm, they went and saw the beaver dams. They reached the den. They were swimming in the dark. They made two slaps. What? So they made some sounds for them. They did the whole fucking show.
That's a big warning for the
beaver. But it's like they got the whole fucking show. So I just want to say, if you are a Bay Area, you know, wild nature beaver enthusiast, you can respectfully go visit them in Fairfield, California. We will put a link in the... well, can I find a link? I'll see if I can find a link. We'll throw it in the underworld. And, you know.
Can't wait.
Yeah, we should. And I also.
I can't fucking wait.
Suzanne has been doing a podcast.
I'm going to throw up.
And she did. Her last podcast is all about beavers. So we'll also put a link into.
Jesus Christ.
In the underworld to Suzanne's podcast, which everyone should be listening to. I know, right? Beavers. I want to go check out the beavers, too. Let's get out there. Everyone get out there. I also heard that near Watsonville is where you could always go see a ton of otters floating around on their cute little backs.
Otters. I know how to see otters. I'm kissing otters daily.
Don't ever get sick of otters. They're always going to be the sweetest, best.
Sick of them? I could never.
I'm just checking. Just checking in.
Especially with my birthday twin, Rosa the sea otter at the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
Really?
Okay, don't talk about it. I'll cry.
Okay, let's stop. We're done talking about it now. I hate otters. Good. No, just kidding.
No.
No, I don't. I don't. I love them. I always will love them.
I love them.
Remember a few weeks ago, I, some reason, was like stuck on this idea that Sesame Street needs to have an artist residency and that you need to be in it?
I thought you I didn't know what you were talking about.
What do you mean? Oh, because how did I even get there? Do you remember? I got into some big tangent about
because you thought
Kate
I sounded
be
like Big Bird.
And then we started talking about all the big birds of the world.
Yes, right? Including the Portuguese big bird, Bobush.
Bobush.
And then I talked to a Portuguese person about Sesame Street, or in Portuguese, Rua Sesamo.
Oh,
and,
right.
And they said they love Yellow Bobush.
Yellow Bobush, which is our big bird,
which is our big bird. And I thought that was an interesting way to decenter American Sesame Street.
Yes.
Because I was thinking of theirs as Orange Big Bird, but that's not how they see things.
Right. Of course. It's always sir. You know, when you hear about wars in other countries, it's always like the American War versus like the Vietnam War or something.
Yes, that's
right. Like, oh, yeah. Thank you for that.
That's absolutely right, Maysoon.
We have, there's Caponata, who's the Spanish Big Bird, or the Big Bird from Spain.
Uh-huh. And Abelardo, the Mexican Big Bird.
Abelardo, who is like so freaking cute. He's like
bright green and pink and red.
I think Abelardo might be one of my favorites.
Yeah.
We have Minkus from Turkey.
Nice.
We have Garibaldo from Brazil, who's like kind of scary.
Terrifying.
He's like really tall.
The Brazilian
and
one
like
is
blue.
A terrifying one.
And he looks like he has like dark
yellow
eyeliner
eyes.
Like circling his eyes. It's really wild. But I mean, but then there's pictures of him with like little kids and they're all smiling. So you're like, well, they're obviously not scared of him. So that's interesting. Why do we think that's scary? And then there's also Pino from the Netherlands. And Pino is also very cute. Pino's
probably
like a cute baby blue with some yellow feathers around
the
eyes.
Of the international big birds.
Yes. I highly recommend you do a quick Google search on the international big birds if you haven't already, and really get into it. Really enjoy that experience or that
Watch a couple
journey.
Episodes, guys. You
Watch a couple
look
episodes.
Look on YouTube.
Yeah.
Maysoon, why did you bring this up?
And next week, I'll tell you if Sesame Street has an artist residency, and I'll give you all the fucking details.
I'm going to see what bird we're talking about.
Did you read Dodie's article on the Judy Chicago?
Yeah, it was really
good.
On point. Okay, Maysoon, I have to tell you, there's a little book I've been looking at called Birds of Lake Merritt by Alex Harris.
Oh, there sure is.
And I don't know if you know this, but one of the birds out there is the American white pelican, or as you might know by its Latin name, Pelicanus erythrorhynchos.
Try that one again. Do it again. Pelicanus, next. I want you to try one more time.
I'm
Take
telling
it slow.
You, that's what it was. Pelicanus.
I literally, to me, I couldn't hear any words or any letters. I was
any
like,
words,
I don't know what.
There isn't...
I just couldn't hear any. Go ahead. Help me out. Now, I'm going to try to guess how it's spelled while you're reading.
Okay. Pelicanus erythrorhynchos.
Airy? A-E-R-Y? Thoror, T-H-O-R, Thororhynchos, Thor,
Erythrorhynchos.
Thoringos.
But that's, see, I'm not telling you a damn letter of that word. And the length of these birds can be between 50 and 65.
What? You're really not
going to
do this with me?
Oh, I'm not spelling that word for $1 million. It's 70,000 letters long.
Is A-E-R-Y correct in the first half?
Oh, God. It's E-R-Y-T-H-R-O-R-H-Y-N-C-H-O-S.
Oh, Jesus. I stopped at R-O. Okay, forget it. Oh, I was close. I had the first seven letters almost right.
No, you didn't. Let me tell you, though.
Almost right.
These are large, almost all-white birds with a long yellow-orange beak and short orange legs. I'm sure you've seen them out there. They're massive. They're the biggest bird you can see out there, in my opinion, at least in terms of girth.
I really haven't been to the lake that much. Maybe next time I'll look for them.
Oh, yeah, Pelicanus, you got to come on over.
Erythrorhynchos.
You know, go out to, in Golden Gate Park at Stowe Lake. Oh, you can see some incredible birds over there.
And you can rent a paddle boat there, so you can really kind of get in.
You can touch them, kiss their little
island
beaks.
You can really get close.
But the American white pelican has black flight feathers visible only when their wings are spread. Their massive wings, 9 feet across, propel groups of migrating pelicans far and wide throughout North and Central America, heading north to inland lakes in the spring to breed, and south to coastal waters such as Lake Merritt in the winter.
Wow.
They're very pretty. They're probably my favorite bird at Lake Merritt, I have to be honest.
Can you tell me about that little bump on their beak? On their long,
yes, they
long
have
beak.
A weird bump little... on their beak.
It's pretty cool. I wonder what that's about.
I don't
Is that
know.
Like for, is that like help them when they're flying? It's like a little wing. It's like helps them
or
with
like,
control.
Or a fin, a dorsal fin.
It's like a fin. On their beak. Where they can kind of like lean into it and it helps them turn.
I don't know. I got to be honest. Alex Harris is not mentioning the bump at all, but it is depicted here in this beautiful watercolor. You really should pick up this.
I feel like it's a very
book.
Distinct feature of this bird. I'm looking at three pictures, and in all three pictures, I'm like, wow, that bump on the beak is pretty cool.
But I'll tell you, it's not uncommon for 10 or 20 of these pelicans to visit in a season.
Oh, it's called a bill, by the way, not a beak. Excuse me.
And watch out, because there's one in particular over there at Lake Merritt named Hank, who is the famous pelican of Lake Merritt.
Oh, my God. I have information about the horn on the bill.
Yes, tell me, please.
Are you ready? Okay. In the breeding season, there is a laterally flattened horn on the upper bill, located about one-third the bill's length behind the tip. So just behind the tip of the bill. This is the only one of eight species of pelican to have a bill horn. The horn is shed after the birds have mated and laid their eggs. Holy shit!
I'm awestruck.
You're stunned. Wow. Okay, when's their mating season? Does the book tell you when their mating season is? Have we missed the
chance
to see
this
bill?
I think it's in the spring. Hang on.
Okay, so they probably are they're probably hornless right now.
What happens to the horn at the end?
It falls off, man. It's like, I'm done.
I wouldn't want to grow a horn.
It falls off after the breeding season. It's temporary. I would. If it was temporary.
You would grow a horn?
I'd grow a tail. I'd grow, like, I don't know, really long limbs. I don't know, for temporary? Sure, why not?
But then everybody would know that you're trying to fuck.
Yeah, but you're not. I mean, hopefully you wouldn't be the only one walking around. That's really awkward. Maybe that is weird. Can we have it for other times, like when you're just like really happy? Oh, that's gonna.
I don't want to. I don't want anyone to know any of my secret inner world based on what kind
of
appendages and horns and snaggle teeth.
I think it would be weird if. I think for mating, that would be weird because you'd get all sorts of weird, like, attention that you wouldn't want. So let's cut that out. Let's not do that. But maybe for some other. For some other moment, it could be kind of interesting. I don't know. Sorry. I mean, maybe I need to see like a cartoon in with this situation. See how it plays
Ooh,
out.
Ooh, I'm looking really at a photo of when they've got the horn, and it is freaky.
It's so cool.
It's a little freaky though.
It is totally freaky. It's like a growth, basically. It's like a big growth that just falls off. You think are they like one of the they fly south?
They do the breeding up north. Well, Maysoon, I'm going to be sharpening my horn from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.